Welcome to the Beer Healer Interviews. I am your host, Chris Lukianenko, and I scour this big brand land of ours, looking under fermenters and behind mash tuns to find the best beer stories to share with you. The Beer Healer Interviews is now available on all major podcast services. If you like the show and want to help out, can I ask you to simply rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or your preferred podcast service? Just leave a few words and a rating and the podcast gods will do the rest. By doing this, you'll help others to discover the show more easily and hopefully get more people interested in this great industry that we call craft beer. There was an article in the Crafty Pride recently. It read, "The Australian beer, hospitality and events industries face an unprecedented threat from the COVID-19 virus. In the face of this global pandemic, how can we keep them alive? The potential fallout is becoming clearer every day. Put simply, in a world where casual employment is high and cash flow is tight, many businesses at the heart of their local communities may not survive. The hashtag Keeping Local Alive campaign has been launched to help people support their local businesses as they innovate and adapt to their rapidly changing reality. In the last 24 to 48 hours, things have seemingly gotten worse for these businesses with a midday today, or actually with a midday yesterday deadline shutting all pubs and clubs. These are unprecedented times we are now living in, and I for one don't really know what to make of it all. But I just want to help out in some way if I can. So today, I've got a couple of guests joining me to explain what the new normal looks like for pubs, clubs, breweries, and anything surrounding the industry. So from the Crafty Pint, Australia's leading craft beer website, I have their main man, James Smith. And from Van Diemen Brewing here in Tasmania with me, I've got Will Tatchell. Gentlemen, welcome to the Beer Healer Interviews.
Cheers, Chris. Thanks for having us on.
Thanks, Loki.
These are weird times we're living in right now, aren't they?
Yeah, I know where people, it's, you know, weird, strange, odd, you know, it's just, it's very hard to get our heads around, really. You know, I think even if you were aware weeks ago that something like this was coming, and I think, you know, some people were, even though some people were in denial, once it started getting real, probably 10 days or 2 weeks ago, and it's still very hard to deal with. You know, my wife set up homeschooling for the kids this morning, hence why I'm hiding in the caravan because they're getting a bit cranky, you know, and just the thought that you can't go and see your mates and you can't go to the pub and we don't know how long it's going to last and, you know, we can't go and visit our family in the UK and if they get sick for God knows how many months and then obviously the impact on so many industries and the industry that we know and love and work in and write about is one that's impacted in, you know, as you know, as harshly as pretty much anything out there, and you know, just trying to find a way to see a future for it is the main thing, and almost provide distractions for ourselves so we don't just keep refreshing the daily news updates, you know, and actually give ourselves some purpose, I think.
Yeah, and for someone who spends most of their day on a pretty secluded farm, even for you, Will, it's got to be kind of weird, mate.
Well, I suppose it's just the how quickly things are changing on a 24-hour basis, and it's one period of time you think you're going down one path and then it obviously changes the other way. I mean, from a farm perspective, the farm continues. It doesn't care about a virus and stuff. We're still we're still sowing and fencing and thank God we got the hops off when we did. I mean, we'll slow down a little bit, obviously, on production and things, but we've got enough to keep ourselves busy, especially from a malting point of view. So the show goes on.
Funny you talk about how quickly it changed. I'm actually meant to be in Europe right now on a family holiday, and I sent a message out to my family just saying, oh, we're heading off in a few weeks and, you know, just keep an eye on the house, that sort of thing. And then literally 4 days later, it was like everything was completely cancelled because they'd said to me, oh, you're not still going, eh? I was like, yeah, it's okay. It hasn't hit Spain yet. We'll be all right. And 4 days later, I think Spain was in bloody lockdown or something like that. So it is just ridiculous the speed that this thing's moving at.
Yeah. Have you been impacted on the business side, Will? I mean, I guess, you know, you have an interesting model in terms of the beers, you know, and what you're doing now. You know, have you seen a big drop off like, you know, most breweries have in terms of, you know, orders, or are you sort of going in sort of smaller amounts through more people? Like, how's it been for you on a business sense?
I suppose we began to transition sort of away from that exclusively wholesale side of things a few years ago. So we've probably been driving in that direction. I know we've certainly obviously dropped off with kegs and stuff, and I know I'm taking a couple back in the next couple of days because they're sitting there and won't be utilised. counter to what you'd expect, we've absolutely hit a surge on online sales, which I'm about to do after this and punch out the best part of, I think there's 45, 50 cartons to go out postage or delivery locally. So I hope that that's not just an initial surge, and I hope there's repeat business in behind that. And hopefully people continue to go to those independent bottle shops and buy locally.
Yeah. That was something that sort of really hit me, was that switch that, oh, shit, all of a sudden breweries aren't going to be filling kegs. Hopefully they can, call in East Coast Canny if they don't have something set up, or get in new bottles or whatever, because you won't be selling kegs for quite a while, it seems.
No. I mean, we might end up putting some beer into kegs from a storage point of view, and whenever this finishes or rides itself out, we'll have them there. But particularly something like our wet hop harvest beer, that was all destined to go into kegs and get out as quickly as possible. Now we're having to pivot sort of 90 degrees and jump on the phone to get more bottles and sort out more labels that were never going to be there, design it all up so that we can get it out the door within the next 2 weeks, aim to launch it in the next 2 weeks and then get it out as quickly as we can.
They say that, times like this breeds innovation, and I guess that's what you're doing with that, aren't you? Life finds a way, I suppose.
I'd like to think that most independent breweries are pretty innovative at the best of times. So I think as far as the industry goes, we've got some pretty creative types floating around. As long as they're still in jobs, I think you'll find that the brewing industry is hopefully pretty well placed to navigate this and work their way through it, sort of being quite progressive with what they offer.
And speaking of, trying to keep things going, it's something that's on the top of mind for anybody who's working in and around the industry. I include myself in that, even though this isn't a real job for me. But, James, it is for you, mate. And you've started up this thing called a Keeping Local Alive campaign, like I mentioned in the intro. Do you want to give us a bit of an overview of what exactly that is?
Well, I guess at its heart, it's a sort of, in a way, I guess it's over the last few days since we launched it, it's become apparent, I guess, it's almost just hammering home the message that we've been hammering home for years, in the craft beer world, in that, support these small local businesses. I guess it's been at the root of what has been going on almost forever in the craft beer world, but now it's more so. And I mean, I realized when we were recording the first beer together stream last night that it was actually less than a week that I think we'd first had the idea to do this. And here we were a week on with, this thing having, grown legs and been in the, it made the national media and stuff like that. But it only came about from, I think there'd been a realization we had to do a story on the potential impact of COVID-19 on the beer world for a while. And then I think it was last Monday, I was like, we've really got to do something now because this is, it's about to get very serious. And just while interviewing various people for that article, that's when I guess the idea crystallized to turn it into something a bit more. And thankfully my graphic designer was able to turn something around within 24 hours, and I guess it was pretty clear what the message had to be. And already we could see businesses starting to adapt even before the lockdown came. And it was like, okay, if these people are doing something different, how can we tell people about it? And how can we encourage people? How can we support what they're doing? And I've gone from sort of, I think, the full reality of what was coming probably did start maybe a week past Friday, sort of early March, God, I don't even know where we are now. Every day seems like a year.
Crazy. Can I cut you off for 1 second? Like, you went live on Sunday, and were you actually doing that based on the assumption that you thought that by Monday lunchtime, every hospo venue would be shut? Or were you sort of still a little bit hopeful that we might just sort of ease into this?
I think, on a personal level, my wife and I sort of felt probably for at least 6 weeks or more there was going to be a lockdown at some stage, and I think we'll still get to another level of lockdown. Like we're isolating at home now already anyway. My wife and son have got pretty severe asthma, so just taking it easy. But I think, I guess we were still hoping it wouldn't come to that. But we did, write that article last Wednesday saying that, it looks like this is going to come. And then, I guess the reason – we were still almost working things out. It was like, we've got to get hit send on this, get this out there straight away. And it was, I think, Saturday it went live. It's, it had got a bit of a buzz online over the weekend. And then, it was Sunday night, wasn't it, the actual announcement came. And I think, I guess by getting it out on the Saturday. We had a bit of sort of, you know, stuff together for when that first happened, including, you know, gave some people some ideas on how they could potentially adapt. Like, you know, in Will's case, he's pretty lucky in that he's, you know, was doing a lot of online sales already. And it's been amazing to see how fast people have learned how to set up online businesses, how fast they've, you know, set up drive-throughs, how fast they've transitioned their bar staff to being home delivery drivers. You know, and like Will says, you know, innovation has been part of the craft beer industry from day one. And while they've never faced a challenge like this, and God knows, you know, if this goes on too long, it's going to be very hard to survive, you know, intact. But I think, you know, the innovation will hopefully be something that stands people in good stead. You know, it's everyone's going to be taking a massive hit, but hopefully, you know, a lot of the layoffs of staff and cut hours will be a temporary thing, and you know, people will be able to get back up to speed and re-employ again. But yeah, it's just a very tough situation because no one can say with any certainty what's happening, and certainly the guidance we've been given from, you know, government level is riddled with uncertainty. So it is a pretty tricky time.
Don't make this a political podcast.
I think everything really hit home for me in terms of the hospo when on Monday afternoon down here in Tassie, you know, probably one of the biggest hospo employers in the state, the Federal Group, had to stand down 1,500 people in one afternoon, one of them being one of my really great mates. Yeah. I thought, fuck, this is big.
Yeah. Oh, and it's, you know, this industry that we're in is massively impacted, but, you know, we've got friends in the travel industry, you know, that's just currently been utterly, you know, laid waste. And, you know, it spreads elsewhere. And I guess, you know, even the industries that are isolated to an extent from the effects, or the, you know, there's some that are very busy. You know, IT businesses are hiring like mad to sort of keep up with things. But you know, if over time there's less and less money around, everyone's going to be, you know, impacted to an extent. So I don't know. I guess we're all going to have to learn to survive on less for now and adapt. Yep. But hopefully, you know, the adaptations that people are going through and the scrambling that people are going. I mean, I was looking at the fact there was no sort of campaign a week ago, the fact that we didn't have this beer TV thing, the fact that people didn't have drive-throughs, you know, all these things have happened incredibly quickly, and people are still doing things incredibly quickly. And it just, you know, if some of these ideas, once we get out the other side, will hopefully, you know, make some businesses stronger and, you know, and better. And, you know, and there's probably a lot of people doing stuff now that they wished they'd had time to do 3 years ago. And, you know, it's like,
yeah,
well,
absolutely.
You know, let's rebuild our tap system, or let's do whatever it is. So, you know, it's good to sort of try and focus on those things. And for me, having the campaign to focus on means I'm now as busy as ever, which is really annoying. chasing my tail the whole time, but it's given me a focus, you know, because when it first started kicking in, you're like, all right, we're going to lose some business. We're going to have to see how we adapt. But it was very hard to focus on anything because you're kind of following the news cycle, and it's pretty worrying. And then you get back and get something, you know, have a purpose to get your teeth into, and it's very, makes it easier to get through, you know, get through the day, because you're not focused on just watching the latest bad headline flash up.
Hey, Will, have the brewing community, the owners and the brewers and that sort of thing, sort of been reaching out to you, or vice versa, just to sort of talk about ideas, or maybe talk about that some of them are in real strife and might have to close or anything like that?
I don't think that's happened just yet. I think a lot of us are obviously looking internal just at the moment on what we can do with our own businesses to react to this. I know from a Tassie perspective, as an industry, we put an email out yesterday to the local industry just sort of saying that if there was anything any of us could do, Owen Johnson, Dave McGill, John Burridge and myself are contact points. If you want to have a chat, flick an email, discuss setting up an online shop, whatever it might be, however we can assist, is something that we've sort of thrown out there to the local industry to do so.
Yeah, it's and this thing's going global. I actually had a phone call this morning at 7 a.m. from a mate in Florida who does a bit like what I do, and he said, mate, can I get you on the phone? I just want to get the Australian perspective of what's going on for my podcast. And so it's looking like the brewing fraternity just goes far and wide, and everybody's trying to help everybody in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's strength yep. in numbers, and this is on the back of Crafty's keeping it local campaign and stuff. I would hope that with something like this, as a campaign that's set up in these circumstances, that it's not something that's forgotten once we get back through to the other side. I think it's something that needs to resonate for an ongoing period, and especially from a local beer perspective. We need to continue to support local businesses, whether it be breweries or hairdressers or tradies, whatever it might be, that there is that if things like this are hopefully not going to happen on a regular basis, but in day-to-day life, we need to look around the corner and what's up the road a little bit more rather than what's potentially foreign-owned and produced offshore or where the profits may go.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we've launched this, you know, with a focus on the beer and hospo community, but I noticed on one of our Instagram posts this morning about the Telegraph story, someone said from the cider worlds going, hey, can you help out in the cider worlds? We don't have a platform like, you know, what you guys do in the beer world. And then a friend of mine, Kelly from Passion Mama Wines, who's the partner of Nick from Molly Rose, she's been ordering a few cases of her wine for us and some friends to help them out. But she was like, oh, you know, we need something like this in the wine industry as well. And, you know, I think the message is sort of broader than beer. You know, we obviously want to focus on what needs to happen in the beer industry to keep, you know, the likes of Will's business going, and hopefully an industry for us still to write about and exist, you know, into the future. But it's, you know, it is a kind of a wider message, and maybe it'll even sort of bring other local producers more together as well, realizing that, you know, they can work together. I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, local, I think we've seen it with beer and sort of food delivery places, but potentially, you know, I was just thinking up the road from us, we've got Three Ravens and Moondog and Jamshed, the wine cellar door. Maybe the three of them, you know, can start working together on deliveries over something like, you know, you just sort of look at this and wonder what, you know, where the synergies can be to help these small local businesses help each other.
Yeah. Let's just sort of turn 90 degrees for a second. I work in the IT industry and we've had to massively pivot what we do. We've got 200 people globally working from home. And one of the absolute biggest things that we've been doing in terms of changing things around is looking after people's well-being. So every morning, as much of a pain in the ass it is, half an hour at 9:30, our whole Australian team gets on and just shoots the shit because we need to check in with each other. We need to make sure that we're doing okay, because at times like this, you know, people can get lost and, you know, maybe go into bouts of depression and or scared or anxious or whatever. So, you know, with what we're facing in the craft beer industry, there's going to be a lot of that as well. So is that something simple that, you know, that anybody can do out there, is just, you know, pick up the phone or shoot an email or whatever, send a message just to check in on your mates in the industry?
Oh, I think so. I mean, we had our first Victorian team sort of Zoom meeting this morning on Crafty, because, you know, we're all pretty much isolating now. And in, you know, one or two people's cases, they're either on their own or just one other person there. I've got my family here, which is both a blessing and a curse. although we just had a trampoline delivered, which is part of the reason why I was late getting back to the recording. So we'll stick William in there at 7:30 in the morning and take him out at 7:30 at night, hopefully.
nice.
Yeah, just try to make sure we check in. And, you know, I think I wonder whether people will start doing it more. Like, we've certainly started speaking to my family more in the UK at the minute, because, you know, my mum and dad are in self-isolation, even though they've got grandkids a kilometre down the road. And I think it is, you know, you've seen that don't drink alone hashtag, which I think started on WA. We'll be doing a story on that as one of our sort of postcards from the edge in this campaign. And that's all about, you know, checking in on people and, you know, tagging people to, you know, record a message about, you know, not drinking alone. And I think it's something that's been a growing part of the beer industry for the last few years. There has been a lot of great work going on around raising awareness around mental health and events and resources and stuff. And maybe this will be one of the positives that comes from this awful situation that we're going through now.
I mean, I've been a big advocate for that side of it for a number of years now, and somewhat ironically, I was meant to be doing a beer based around raising awareness for mental health with Paul Wyman from Western Australia, who was going to be travelling to Tassie. We were going to do a beer together for exactly that purpose today. Obviously, that's sort of not happening anymore. But I think it's something that all of us need to have the ability to step outside of our bubble for a period of time, whether it is 20, 30 minutes for once a day or something, to gain a bit of perspective. And I think that's potentially a positive out of these circumstances, is the perspective of not only business and what you're doing in that, but also life around it, and that if push comes to shove, there are certainly more important things around than simply what's the next hazy style I'm going to produce, or Oh,
nothing's more important than that. Come on, Will, you know. Yeah, no, it is. And I think, you know, it is going to bring a lot of perspective to people. We've got to hope that not two people. I mean, there's been a lot of stress involved in running a small brewery. You know, it's hard work, small margins, a lot of competition. And I bet there's a lot of people who've been living under a great deal of stress for a number of years without this on top of them. So, yeah, you've got to hope they've got enough people around them that are paying attention.
I think one thing out of that, and it becomes part of our social media, obviously on the farm here by myself for a lot of the time, it's the messaging and communication that you put out. So it can be still be quite honest on what you're going through and very have a lot of clarity around that. So certainly for any brewers or brewery owners that are doing the social media side of things, there is perspective given through that social media channels about what is actually happening. It's not all rosy at the moment, and that can arguably be one of the best things to do, is to show the reality of the situation.
So let's try and turn a negative into a positive around, how we can try and find a way forward. Obviously, as you said, you know, social media is a big part of that. What have you guys seen in the last few days that sort of made you think that we'll be able to sell a few beers during these trying times on social media?
I know there's been, plenty of, I guess positive examples in terms of, as we talked about before, the repurposing of staff and the businesses. I guess the last time I really left the house other than to get some fresh air was on Monday, I think it was, when the Cherry Tree in Richmond were launching their home delivery, and being the legends they are, they went and did up their ute. They got the sound system from the old GB sound system. They got permission from the police to blast it far louder than they should, and they went out, around the streets of Richmond handing out sanitizer they'd made with Boat Rocker and all the massive toilet rolls they no longer need for the hotel. And they just stood there, in Swan Street, guy on the roof waving the flag around, using the pool cue they no longer need in the pub to hand out toilet rolls to respect social distancing. And it put a smile on a lot of people's faces there. People were stopping in the street to take photos and videos, like probably got no idea what's going on. And some of the older people that were being given stuff were like, how much do you want for this? They're like, no, just take it. Like, this is here for you, and I think I just saw a post from them today. They're all dressed in ridiculous onesies today for day three. And they ended up either earlier today or yesterday, a local school had run out of some supplies. So they did an emergency run to the local school. And, when you see stuff like that, these people are obviously fighting for the survival of their business, but they're also wanting to do it in a way that brings a positivity and puts a smile on people's faces. And, it's the more we can see of that, the more it helps people get through. And I did see some article the other day from someone, it was a nurse who's worked on a number of epidemics or pandemics over the years in different countries, and saying that this is the worst time, when it really starts to take hold, this is the worst time for people, because the full sort of reality becomes apparent. And then, but she says, then it gets better because you get used to it, and people find whatever it is in themselves to be better, and you see, human kindness coming through. You see how people are willing to help each other. And, we don't know how long this is going to go and how long term the damage is going to be on an economic scale globally. But in terms of, I think, people's resilience and the human spirit, I think, we will see hopefully more of that, and, if I can put a blatant shout out, if anyone's doing anything like that in the beer world that we can write about, please send details to local@craftypint.com, because the more positive stories that we can tell about what people are doing throughout this time, 100%. That's what we see one of our key roles as being at the minute, is to try and, keep spirits up and keep people inspired, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, in the same vein, if anybody wants to jump on to this podcast with me, I'm working from home. I still got a lunch hour, but I don't really go anywhere. So I've probably got to spare half an hour like I am today to record an episode. If somebody wants to get on and tell their story or talk about what's going on, or not even record, just have a chat. You know how to find me on Facebook on the Beer Healer page. So, and Will's going to be giving away free beer.
Both of you have hit the nail on the head for me. It's about communication.
Yeah.
There's no point closing down and going into your shell. This is the time when to pick up a phone and send a message, or flick an email, or contact either of you for something that's going on, whether it's from a social media point of view, you guys doing podcasts or media side of things, or even suppliers. having those open channels of communication to understand what's going on in a business and stuff, it's I think that's pretty important. The moment everyone starts closing down and going into shells and stuff and sort of potentially drinking alone, that's when we don't want that. And yes, likewise, if everyone's probably got my number or at least on social media, flick me a message. I'm always on there flicking around. So between Krause and myself, we should be able to answer you.
Sounds good. Yeah, look, I think that's the key. I know in my real job, that's a message we're ramming home to all staff. Look, this is probably not a time to be from where software vendors to be pushing product and selling product, but we can offer up assistance to get people through these times. It might come full circle and you might get something on the other end, but really right now it's just about, you know, banding together and just trying to bloody get through what's going to be some pretty tough times for all of us. So, yeah. Guys, thanks for taking your time today to have a chat about this. I know things are pretty tough for both of you, so I appreciate it. And, mate, James, good luck with the Keeping Local Alive campaign. It's a fantastic initiative. I've just been checking the hashtags on Instagram today. It's really starting to get a few photos and stuff being tagged with it, so that's good to see. And, you know, be good to each other, everybody out there, and check in on your mates within the industry because it's going to be tough for a while and we're going to need to band together. So, boys, thanks again for your time today.
Awesome. Cheers for having us on, Chris.
Thanks, Lucy. Good luck with the trampoline, James.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for listening. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. If you have an interesting beer story and want to be a guest on the Beer Healer interviews, send me a message via my Facebook page. And once again, if you want to help out the show, a simple rate and review on Apple Podcasts or a follow, like, or share on any other podcast service will do the trick. I'll catch you soon.